Again, thank you so much, Pastor Tan. Thank you so much for this wonderful time and opportunity that I can be with you and minister through the Word of God. If you have your Bible, please. If you have your Bible in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, verse number 9 and verse number 8 in your Bible, please. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 9, down to verse number 10 only. I request everybody to please stand first and as we read the Word of God this morning. All together in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, verse number 9 and verse number 10, all together begin. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over in Macedonia and help us." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for this wonderful time, for this wonderful opportunity, for this wonderful church, and for this wonderful people and you as our wonderful God. Amen. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for sending forth your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in that while we are yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you, Lord, for such amazing, wonderful, and grace and love, Father, for us. Lord, as a sinner, we deserve nothing. And yet, Lord, in wonders of wonders, you left the splendor of heaven and came into this world and died in our behalf. We thank you and we praise you. We exalt you, Father. And I am thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come in this place to share your word. Be with us. Thou knowest, Lord, that without thee, I can do nothing. Speak to your people. Be with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Again, the story in this verse, my beloved brethren, was happening in the book of Acts chapter number 16 when Paul and Silas, when they were in Troas during their missionary journey. So when they were in their missionary journey, they have plans to go to other places to preach the word of God and to plant churches. That is what they are doing in this time, particular time, and they have planned, they have already planned to go in that place. But at that night in Troas, the Bible says, at that night, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia, prayed him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." My beloved, allow me to speak this morning on the subject, there's a call. And this call, my beloved brethren, there's a call from afar. There's a call from a man in Macedonia that stood and said, "Come over and help us." They cried, they are pleading for help. And they said, "Come over and help us." This is a cry, my beloved brethren. They are pleading for help. That somebody would take the word of God, would take the gospel, would take the word of God to them and show them that there is hope, that there is heaven, that there is God in heaven that can save their soul. They are crying for help. They are challenging this missionary to please come over and help us. And it is sad to say, nowadays there are so many people, even Christian, do not hear this kind of call. They don't care about the call. But Paul and Silas heard the call from afar. These people, my beloved brethren, they are blind. They are without hope. They are sinners. They are enemy of God. When they die, they will go to hell. And they are pleading for help. They are pleading for help. And us as believers, it is our responsibility, I believe. The Great Commission was given not only to the pastor, not only to the workers, but to every believer to preach the Word of God. They are pleading for help. Probably these people, probably they are your relatives. Probably you do not hear them in their mouth that they need help. But in spiritual condition, my beloved brethren, they need help. We pass them every day. We saw them every day. We have fellowship with them every day. We eat with them probably every day. But my beloved brethren, when time, death will come to our beloved brethren, beloved sisters, probably brothers, when death will come, you can do nothing about it. Now that they are still alive, they need your help. I hope you heard their pleading. They need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ. And they are pleading for help. There's a call from afar. There's so many people, my beloved brethren, in Maguindanao, even in North Cotabato. No one will go there. You Filipino, you know Mindanao, especially Maguindanao. It is a ground zero. We have permit, my beloved brethren, we have assurance to go inside, but we don't have assurance to come out. No? So when you go with us, I can promise you, I can go with you inside. But I cannot give you insurance if you can come out alive. So that's the just right last week, the German man was being beheaded. You know, there's a lot of news and there's a lot of things happening there. It's not covered in the news. Every day there are killing every day in that place. But my beloved brethren, what makes us, you know, some pastors, some even members and Christians would criticize me. Why go to that place? How about if you will be killed in that place? If I go, I will die. If I will not go, I will die anyway. So it's better to go and to die for the cause of the Lord than to die, my beloved brethren, doing nothing. So I go to that place. Why? Because I heard the cry. I saw children in that place. I saw their need. The born in poverty. They have a very hard life here on earth. But it is more hard if they do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So no one will go. But I praise the Lord for this opportunity. For this opportunity to come over. Why? Because we heard the call from afar that they need Jesus. People need the Lord. Don't go to heaven alone. Bring someone with you by sharing the word of God. One of the selfish person in the earth is those Christians who are satisfied to go to heaven alone. You still have the opportunity, my beloved. We have a lot of opportunity. But probably because sometimes of material things and things we are doing every day in our life, we miss and we do not hear the cry of people that they need Jesus. These people need the Lord. Why, Pastor, your good pastor here asked me, Pastor, why have burden in Muslim? Actually, I don't have burden for Muslim. I grew up in Muslim community. I saw some of my uncle were killed by Muslims. My cousin were killed by Muslims. And as a child, we are not yet saved at the time. If we have funeral, if the Muslim will kill our relative, our adult will have their meetings for events, and all the children also, they gather, and they, you know, they put in our mind that someday if you grow up, as long as you have opportunity, get revenge, kill Muslim as much as possible. Don't put trust in them. As long as, don't kill you first, they said. You have to, if you have the opportunity, you have to take revenge. So that thing that in our mind, I carry it even when I am a pastor. Can you imagine that? How this teaching influenced me even I am a pastor for 2 years in Bandisilan. So there's an instance, one time there are rebels come to our place. They come to our church. The Muslim freedom fighter, they come to our church. And our community help us. So they shoot each other. They are in our church. After 45 minutes of encounter, there are 8 Muslims died inside our church. We were at the back of the church, hiding, of course. So when I come out, I have this video and I take video and photos. And that day, there's a one man, he's still alive and he's still praying. And I take a picture, and that day I said, oh, praise God, God give me vengeance. This is a vengeance, this is a revenge of what they're doing in my relatives. I am a pastor at that time. So I am praising God because so many people will die, especially Muslim. I cannot kill them because I am a pastor. Now God bring them here. So that's what I am thinking. And then that night, I reviewed the video. When I reviewed the video, God really struck my heart that night. And he said, you are a pastor. You have the message. And this man is pleading for help. And you are there praising me. And you are there taking a video with a joy in your heart for events. And that night, God torn my heart. And from that moment, I am very willing to risk my life to reach these people. And after the following year, Ismail got saved. Ismail, he became my assistant pastor for 6 years. And then another Muslim came. He is our choir conductor. Another Muslim came, and he is my secretary now in our church. And another Muslim, and another Muslim. Now we have Bible students who are Muslim. This year, we have 5 Muslim who come to full-time ministry. That night, God torn my heart, and I heard the call. I do not know what you are hearing right now. Probably if your ears is filled with worldly music and worldly, you know, things, probably you do not hear their cry. But my beloved brethren, if you read your Bible, if you observe the world, people need the Lord. There's a call from afar. Before I close, number 2, not only that, my beloved brethren, there's a command from above. The very reason why we go, the very reason why the church would, you know, support mission and do the work of mission, because there's a cry from afar, and also this is a command of God. If it is a command, my beloved brethren, as a soldiers of God, there's no option in it. The only option to this command is to execute and to obey the command. If in our in the Philippines, we have ROTC, that is a preparatory for being a soldiers. So we are trained, you know, to follow orders. When the commanding officer would say, "Forward, march!" You cannot say, "Okay, maybe later on, okay, just go and I will just, you know, follow you later." No, you cannot do that. When the commanding officer would say, "Turn to the right," how about to the left, sir? No, you cannot do that. If the commanding officer would say, "Go forward," and then, "Sir, how about backward?" No, you cannot reason with that. Even it is dangerous, even if you don't like it, even my beloved brethren, probably you are not comfortable to do it because it is a command. It is your responsibility to execute the command. Are you still with me? Are you still listening? Can you still understand the word that comes from my mouth?
Amen.
I hope so. But anyway, there's a command. And sometimes when, you know, one thing I like Singapore, here as I observe, everybody follow the rules. You know, in the Philippines, no, I do not criticize, but this is the truth. When you come to the Philippines, sometimes the traffic light is just a suggestion. It's a suggestion. Either you follow or not. Sometimes it's red and the people would go and the car will... But here in Singapore, wow! When the traffic light would red, everybody stop. Wow! Seldom you can find it probably in Manila, but in Mindanao, no, you cannot. You see, my beloved brethren, this law and this command was given by your government, and you obey. We praise the Lord. But the command of mission, it is not given, my beloved brethren, by mayor, by governor, by the president of this nation. It was given by the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And everyone and every Christian should follow, because He is the Lord God and He has authority over your life. You are both with a prize. That's why you all you need to know, my beloved, you cannot escape with this. Who are we to go against to the command of God? If we are not supporting mission, we are disobeying God as far as mission is concerned. Whether you have, my beloved brethren, this is a command from God. I hope we understand that. Now, if you disobey God, how can you claim blessing from God? That's probably the reason why God did not bless many churches today. Because so many churches, they are just focused in the corner, the four corner of their church. They are worried about their building. They are worried about their vehicle. They worry about their aircon, their microphone. My beloved brethren, you listen to this. There are more important than these material things. The souls of man. It is priceless. God gave Himself for the souls of men. And He put that burden. He gave this command to us as a believer. Now He is in heaven and this command was given to us. The very reason you are saved, because someone followed that command. The very reason you are here, you will enjoy heaven. You will enjoy eternal hope. You enjoy forgiveness from God. You enjoy the blessing from God. Now, before you are a sinner, now you are a saint. Before you are the enemy of God, now you became a son of God, a friend of God. You enjoy so many spiritual blessings because someone obeyed God's command. Without their sacrifices and without their obedience to the Lord, probably you are still a pagan. You still have that
gods and goddesses. You still probably worship a wrong god, but someone followed that command, and now you are saved. Now that you are saved, God wants you to tell others. There's a call. This call from afar, and also this call, there's a command from above. Are you still with me? Are you still listening? Number three, the Bible says, not only there's a command from above, but also, my beloved brethren, there's a challenge from within. If you are saved, I do believe the Holy Spirit is within your heart. And every time the word of God will be preached about souls, about this burden, the Holy Spirit, my beloved brethren, will convince you to participate to this great endeavor. So there's a command. There's a call from afar. There's a command from God. And there's a challenge from within. A challenge to participate. A challenge to carry out the gospel. Number four, before I close, to the introduction. Okay? So I am not yet in my sermon. Okay? So this is just an introduction. Some of you, wow, we will be done early. No, not yet. There's a cry from beneath. There's a cry from beneath. Not only call from afar, command from above. There's a challenge from within, from the Holy Spirit in our hearts, but also there's a cry from beneath. May we grow up in a cult family, PBMA. Filipino, probably some of you are members before. PBMA is a cult that they have also God. His name is Ecclesio. And few years ago, he was caught because he killed his wife. But he's God, okay? He's God for them. He killed his wife, and there a lot of drugs was found in his house. And also, he had this case of rape, murder, and illegal drugs, and so many cases. But you know what, my beloved brethren? People there, they worship him as God. He was in the prison, now he escaped, but still he is God for them. That's our religion before. So they have this superpower that once someone would shoot you, you will not, the bullet will not penetrate your body, something like that. It's crazy, but they believe it. You know what, my beloved brethren? My grandfather also a member of that group, and he died. You know, when I was in Bible school, the first person that I witnessed that moment, my grandfather is in hell. I graduated in Bible school 2005. My grandfather is still in hell. Now I am preaching now. I have a wife, one wife. Amen. I have two sons and one daughter, X, Y, and Z, so that it's easy for them to write their names. So, but when that child was born, my grandfather is in hell. Right now I am preaching to you, my grandfather is in hell. Tomorrow he will be in hell, and forever he will be there. And tell you what, I can do nothing about it because he died already. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. When death will come, nobody can, we can do nothing about it. Those loved ones that we have that they died, if they do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in hell and you can do nothing about it. But I tell you what, you still have relatives, they are still alive right now. Don't waste your time, my beloved brethren. Take every opportunity to share the word of God. There's a cry from beneath. Probably some of your relatives are there already. They are pleading. Probably they are ano ngayon sinisisi sa tagi sa English? Sinisisi. Blaming. Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, probably they are blaming you because it was a long time ago you know the gospel and you don't share with them. Now they suffer in hell because you do nothing about it, my beloved. And one day I don't want that happen to my relative. That's why as much as possible, I share the word of God to them. Either they accept it or not, my responsibility is to share. You know, sometimes in our church, sad pastor, because sometimes gossip run faster than the gospel. So many people are good in gossip, but they are not good in sharing the gospel. There's no good benefit in gossip. There's no such gossip ministry. But there are so many members who are involved in gossip ministry. They just will gather and then they gather around and you know. The attendance is always complete because they know if they will absent, they are the one who will be talking. So they are all complete. But you know, that's not the ministry of this church. The ministry is not to share the gossip, but to share the gospel. Amen? This is what the Bible says. There's a cry from beneath. Now let's go to preaching. Amen? So, Christian, what should we do and with this call? Verse number 10. The Bible says, and after they had seen the vision. Are you still with me? Verse number 10, this is what the Bible says. And after he had seen the vision, the next word said, immediately we endeavor to go. My beloved brethren, this is what we are going to do. As soon as we heard the call, that Paul and Silas, my beloved brethren, this call need immediate response. This is an immediate response. Immediately. They said, immediately. Not that the Bible says immediately meaning right away. No delay. Immediately. They did not say, oh, maybe next year we will come back there next year. Or maybe next week or maybe next month. One of my members, I told him, sir, why don't you join the mission program in our church? He said, Pastor, my plan is I will involve in mission next year. He said, I told him, what if you will not reach next year? What is your life? It is even a before that appeareth in a little time, and then it will vanish away. Boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Some young people would say, oh, Pastor, I will be faithful when probably I am 24. What if God will take you in 23 years old? So as long as we have this opportunity, my beloved brethren, this call needs immediate response. Why? Because of the condition of the world. The very reason why, my beloved brethren, that the Christians should respond immediately because of the condition of the world. Millions are dying. I do not know with you if you saw, my beloved brethren, funeral service or people in other places that they have coffin there, you know. In the Philippines, we called it sa Ilonggo, we called it, I forgot. Funeral, okay, that's all. Funeral service. Every time I saw people dead, I'm always thinking, is that person received the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you just pass by. Sometimes you get angry because it's traffic. But you do not see the need, but if that person died and had the Lord Jesus Christ. If your family, a part of our family, God will take the end of their life, what is your thinking? The finances of probably the cost of the funeral, the cost of the burial? How about the cost of their life? How about their souls? Oh, I hope, Christian, this call needs immediate response. Why? Because of the condition of the world. The Bible says, for all have sin and come short sa glory, sa gino. And also, the condition of the church. Not only the condition of the world, but this church, our church, my beloved brethren, would respond immediately because of the condition of churches today. So many congregations, their focus, my beloved brethren, as what I have told you, their focus is just a program, their program. Some churches, even we know some churches, they have no burden for souls. It's just a social club. The main concern is their feeling. Some even churches, they just gather and then sing and then read the Bible and then that's it. They said they already worship God. Their coffee break is far more sintas. Ano yung mas mata, mas mahaba? Longer. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Their coffee break is longer than their preaching. And they said, we worship God. And then the pastor, you know, and the pastor would not preach sometimes sin because people would be offended. We come here together to love one another and that's it. Oh, I hope you join your Sunday school. You have a very good Sunday school. Oh, I hope you join and you can understand what this love means. Amen? Are you still with me?
immediate response. Some churches, my beloved brethren, lost their purpose. Why this church exists? Number one, this church, my beloved brethren, was built by the Lord Jesus Christ to exalt God above all. This is our purpose. We come together not to exalt one another, but to exalt the Most High God. I came to one of the church in the Philippines, Philippine pastor, and this is that their pulpit is bigger than this. And you know, there, you can, this one is Ambassador Baptist. Theirs is Jesus Save. Wow, amen. Jesus Save, a very cute small words that you can say, Jesus Save. But beneath that Jesus Save, there is a donated by a very good, large word that said donated by Honorable so and so. Why? You know why? Because he wanted people, when they go to church, he wanted that people would know that he is the one who donated that one. And he wanted that people would praise him. These people love praise of men. And you come to the hymnal, there are names at the back, donated by Mr. So-and-so. You see, in this church, we do not, my beloved brethren, even you are the richest person in this church, we come together in this church not to exalt you. Even you are the one who donated that thing, this instrument. You know, my beloved brethren, all of this, we are doing this for the glory of God. This church would exist to exalt God, not to exalt one another. Anything that exalt God, exalt man, insult God. Because he alone deserves exaltation. So if you give something to this church and your pastor will not touch your shoulder and say, oh brother, I will announce it Sunday that you give this, you know, $10, thank you. I will put your name here. Yeah, you're very, oh wow, brother, you do it again, I will put your name there. No, we don't do that, right? I do not know, but in the Philippines, some people will do that. I do not know here in Singapore. People sometimes will be offended if their name will not be, you know, will be called by the pastor, and if the congregation will not clap their hands. Wow! He donated the papers. Wow! Let's clap our hands to this brother, you know. No. We come together to exalt God. So if the pastor will not praise you, probably because you done something to this church, no, you do this because we do that because for the glory of God. That's the purpose why we are here. Not only that, the purpose this church exists, not only to exalt God, but also to edify believers. To edify believers. You are here to minister one to another. Don't come to the church and expect somebody would minister to you. You come to church and minister to other people. They said, one of my members said, Pastor, I don't like to go to church anymore. I go, why? Because the people there, sometimes they do not smile at me. I said, you go to church and smile to them. So sometimes this is this mentality that we have. You know, if we join the choir, okay, Pastor, I'll join the choir. But take note, the lights is only in me, okay? All others is background. No, we don't do that, my beloved brethren. We exalt God and we edify believers. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That is our responsibility, to love one another. And 1 John, there are 5 chapters in 1 John. In 5 chapters, there are 135 verses. And in 130, if you are, you know, if you doubt with me, you just count it when you go home. There are 135 verses, and in 135 verses, there are 46 times the word love was being repeated. Why it was being repeated? Because it is important that in this church, love will be found. Not only that, not only to exalt God, to edify believers, the purpose of this church is to evangelize the world. And many churches miss that purpose. And I hope the Ambassador Baptist Church would not lose that purpose, to evangelize the lost. Don't you know that there are other people, not only here in Singapore? Maybe some of you just think probably the people are only here in Singapore. There's a lot of people outside in Singapore, and that is our responsibility. And that's the responsibility of the church, to reach the world for Christ. Amen? So, my beloved brethren, that's the condition of the church. Now, my beloved, and also the condition of the lost, and also the condition of the false teachers. Have you heard Jehovah's Witness? We call it in the Philippines, false Jehovah's Witness. Because the whatever they witness, it's not my beloved brethren, right? They have the wrong gospel. But you know what? They are more eager sometimes. They walk in the Philippines. You can see them. Early in the morning, they walk while the Baptist people are still sleeping. They are eager for soul winning, for what they call visitation. And so many members of the church, they just depend on their pastor to go and visit. Now, it's not the responsibility of the pastor. Church, let me tell you this with all my love. It is not just the responsibility of your pastor. Every person who are saved, my beloved brethren, you have responsibility to reach the world. Are you still with me? So what if Jesus Christ will come today? How many people did you, and how many years are you a member of this church? And how many times you share the word of God? Question you, a very simple question. When was the last time you shared the word of God? When was the last time? I hope you have an answer with that. Are you still with me? So my beloved brethren, listen to this. The Bible says, because of the condition of the false teachers. In the Philippines, there are so many church morons. Mormons. Yeah, Mormons, sorry. Mormons. These Mormons people, 2010, Pastor, there are 1,500 Mormons, okay? Come to the Philippines from United States and from other countries. They come to Philippines and spread their false doctrine. Can you imagine? They preach that Jesus and Satan, they are brother. Yeah, that's their doctrine. And there's a lot of... there's a lot of false doctrine in there. And yet, these people, my beloved, they are more eager. Even they have false doctrine. But we, believers, Christian, Baptist believers, we claim that we have the truth. And yet, my beloved brethren, we do not go and tell the world. Sometimes people do not go. The sad thing about some churches, they do not participate. That's a sad part. But there's a sad part more, Pastor. They did not participate. They are the one who hinder it. They are not supporting mission, but they are the one who hinder it. They are not bringing people in the church. They are the one who cause other people to stop church, to going to the church. They not even bring people to the church, but some of the church member, just go and do not join us because of probably their testimony. So you listen to this. The Bible says, my beloved brethren, because of the condition of the false teachers, the Muslim, one of the fastest religion today. So, there's little pastor who would take this responsibility to tell Muslim about the Lord Jesus Christ because of fear. Probably in us, we grew up in that area, so it helped us, to have more courage compared to other pastor because we grew up in that area. And we believe that as long as we go and preach the gospel, the Bible says a wonderful promise of God that, and lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Can you imagine last week we are in the base camp 106 Brigade of MILF, the freedom fighter of the Philippines, Islamic freedom fighters. As soon as we finish, teaching the children, the commander called us and they have tables of food. And I was standing there together with my staff and I said, oh Lord, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It was fulfilled, my beloved brethren, for those people who carry the gospel. What a wonderful experience in your life if you experience the fulfillment of the promise of God. But some of the promises you cannot claim because we are not obeying God. God said, this is what the book of Philippians said, but my God shall supply all your needs. Don't you know that that verse is not given to every believers? The context of that verse, if you read the context, Paul said, when I go to the mission field, no one communicated with me aside from you. You are the only church who supported me in mission. Because of that, he said, my God will supply your need. So if you are not supporting mission, you cannot claim that verse based on the context. So some people would, claim that verse. You do not know the context. The context is the Philippi people, even in their deep poverty, they gave. That's why Paul said, okay, because you do this to us, rest assured of God's promise. God will supply all your need. Not great need. Amen? I hope it is clear.
God will supply all your need.
So, my beloved brethren, we need immediate decision. Why? Because of the condition of the false teachers, even the condition of our co-workers. The Bible says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Among these few pastors, many of these few already pastors surrender. Some of them backslide. So many pastors, right? So many pastors quit in the ministry. Some pastors, they saw that the press, you know, people in the Philippines, especially in the Philippines, they are devoted. Even the Catholic press is very, you know, gambler and also, you know, immoral and also, you know, drunkard. But they still respect. But some pastors that they give their life to the Lord, there are some members who do not respect the man of God. And that's some of the pastors quit in the ministry because they cannot even find love in their ministry. They give their life to the ministry. They give everything to the ministry. They prayed for their ministry. They sacrificed for their ministry. But the people don't care. And I hope it will not happen here. I hope in this church you love your pastor. Your pastor turned his back from his vision, his dream. He turned his back from his ambition. And he gave himself full time to take good care of you guys, to pray for you, to feed you with the word of God. I hope you take good care of the man of God. Are you still with me? So there are so many pastors now, they are stressed. Many pastors discouraged and quit in the ministry. This is the condition of the co-worker all around the world. So many pastors quit. Why? Because my beloved brethren, probably because of hardship, probably some because of persecution, not from outside, but sometimes from inside the church. One time I am a new pastor, and as I am a new pastor, I preach hard and sometimes I shout. So one day, one of the child go to our church first. So I said, "Hi, good morning." I said, "Hey, good morning, Pastor. Where's your mom and dad?" He said, "They're in the house. They're still eating." Oh, and he said, "Pastor, my father said that he did not like your preaching." and he ran. He 5 years old. And I said, "Hey, come. What other things your father said? He do not like your preaching. Very long and very, you know. How about your mother?" He said, "My mother said he did not like the way you announce it." And he tells me everything. And you know what, Pastor? My preaching on that Sunday, I hope to preach heaven. And I have those things about when we all get to heaven, you know, about heaven. And when the deacons, our song leader, would come, I said, "Change the song. The fight is on." Sound the battle cry. Because our message to this is about fight and about hell, not heaven. And when they come after the Sunday school was over, they come and said, "Oh, do you know, Pastor? You know what? I am praying for you, Pastor. We love you. And you know, we support Pastor. You know what? I pray." But behind in my back, their children already told me his. So suggestion for the members, if you backbite your pastor, suggestion, please don't allow your children to hide it. Yeah? Suggestion, godly suggestion. Now, it was probably 8 years ago. That child pastor, there's no respect in our church. That child, that boy, has no respect with me. No respect for the word of God, no respect for the church. And his mother asked me why. And I told her why. Because you parents, you do not show your respect with me. Don't expect that your children would respect the man of God. Are you still with me? No. Sometimes with people, when I preach, people sometimes get angry. You know, I am not, you know, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not even afraid to go to MILF. Compare her that you are my brother and sister. No. But that's the truth. Sometimes we criticize the man of God as if we are more faithful than him. So, my beloved brethren, the very reason we respond positively because of the condition of our... You do not know your pastor. Probably he is born out right now. You do not know. You have no idea. You have no idea. I told my father is a policeman. And I told him, "How much do you get in police?" He said, 20,000 pesos. I said, "Is that enough?" He said, he cannot lie to me because I am his son and I know the needs of our house. Is 20,000 pesos is enough? He said, "No.
How about your support in me, in the church? Is that enough? He said, yes, 2,000 pesos is enough. I have also children. So sometimes, you know, you complain about your salary. You have no idea how much your pastor... That is not our... You know what, my beloved brother? That is not our desire. But it is your responsibility to take good care of the man of God. And we have to respond in mission positively. And we need to support the vision of our pastor. Why? Because of the condition of the pastors today. There are so many churches without no pastor. And there are so many pastors without church. And thank God there is a church here and there is a pastor. You take good care of the man of God. Amen? Amen. So, my beloved brethren, in immediate, we don't have time anymore, so I will be close. Immediate action. Second, the Bible says, and after we heard the vision, immediately we. What is that? Immediate participation. They do not say some, but he said we. After he seen the vision, the Bible says we. Every member of this church is important. Your participation in this great endeavor is important. Probably you cannot give, but you can pray. Probably you cannot go, but my beloved brethren, you can support. It's like in the Philippines, we have this, ano nga yung balloon? Well, oh yeah, okay. Maraming kasing pronunciation ng well. Eh, no? The well. And in our place, somebody would go down and there's a rope. And probably one person will go down and so many people here up holding the rope. And you don't lose that rope because someone is down there, you know. His life and his condition depend on those people who are holding the rope. But they are doing the same thing. You know, probably you cannot go in the Philippines. But we are there. We are going down. Please hold the rope for us in prayer. Please hold the rope for us. Don't let it loss. We need your prayers. So my beloved brethren, this is the condition. Immediate participation. My beloved brethren, we need people, this church, to support and to participate in mission. It is a joy one day when you go to heaven, somebody will be saved and you said, I participate in that mission. I am involved. Are you still with me? So now your pastor, if you have missions, you know, your pastor is not abusing us. He is just giving us opportunity to be involved in this great endeavor, mission. Remember, this is the purpose why you are here. To exalt God, to edify believers, and to respond the call to evangelize the lost. Don't go to heaven alone. We need immediate decision. In closing, one time during my studies in Lapasan, Cagayan de Oro City, we have, every Saturday, we teach children. So there's one child who is bigger than other child. He is the one who helped me. His name is Tuto. So when I arrive in the place, he is the one who arranged the chair. So every Saturday, he was there helping me. Sometimes he is the one who lead the song, song leader. But one time, one Saturday, I do not see him. So I go to his house and her mother said, oh, Pastor, thank you so much for coming. Tuto is very sick. Will you please come and pray for him? So I come, and then Toto, he said, Pastor, sorry, I was not able to attend because I cannot get up. I am in pain. But outside the house, my co-worker said, okay, let's go, because it's very far from our place. I said, Toto, I will come back, okay? I will come back because my co-workers are already here. So I will come back this afternoon, and I will pray, and I will share something for you. So I go to our church and then buy some fruits, you know, and excited to go back. After 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I went there. And I was amazed because there are so many people around their house. And when I come back, when I go to the house, her mother is crying. But even when she was crying, she was thanking me, Pastor, thank you so much for coming this morning. Thank you for praying for him because even he is died, but you come over here this morning. And I cannot believe it. I will not accept it. And I cannot believe it because I know I was not able to share the word of God to him. I come, I enter the house, my beloved brethren. Until now, it was 15 years ago. Until now, that face, my beloved brethren, I can see, I can still see his face. I cannot forget his face. Why? Because I was there. I was there. What is 15 minutes I spent with him? But I said, I will come back. When I come back, he died already. And I can do nothing about it. And until now, my conscience is hunting me. I miss that souls because of whatever reasons. How many of you today, you lost great opportunity to share the gospel to your relatives? But praise God, you still have time. Don't waste this time. Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord. There's a call from afar. There's a command from above. Oh, Lord, there's a challenge from within, from your word, from you, Holy Spirit, God. And there's a cry from beneath, probably from our loved ones who died, who gone before us. They are pleading for, Lord, they are pleading that somebody would teach those people that are still alive. And we are here, we know the truth, we know the gospel. Help us to have courage, oh Lord, to participate. Help us, Lord, that our relatives and loved ones, death will not come to them without us sharing the word, sharing the gospel. Oh God, I pray. Sometimes our focus is just for ourselves, for our business, for our money, for our work. But we forgot, Father, and we never heard, and we cannot heard the pleading of the souls, oh Lord. Lord, help us to remember why we are here. Help us to remember the purpose of our church, not only to exalt you, to edify believers, but to evangelize the lost. Lord, put that burden in our hearts, oh God, and allow us to see the need. We have only one life, and this life soon it will pass. Only what's done for the Father will last. Lord, bless this church. Encourage them, put fire in their heart to carry out the great commission. Bless us, dear God. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
You might just close your eyes and bow your heads. It's just there's someone who say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I want you to pray for me. That I'll stop looking at myself by the people around. And isn't it true? I think we've heard this before. How many times our focus is on the wrong things? Yeah, we still do our duty, but I believe God is reminding us of the purpose of our life, purpose of our church, and how much we need to shift our focus back to what is important to God. Someone said, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. I don't know what it is, but I would like to pray for you. Would you put up your hand and say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I need to get serious with God. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand. Those hands, put it up, put it down, and pray in your heart. Say, someone else. Amen, I see that hand too. Let's pray. Father, only you can move our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your man that has risk his life, Lord, to go into the Muslim stronghold to reach some of these people for Christ. We are thankful that over the years, many have come to Christ. But Lord, it's not enough. There are still more people inside. Yes. Lord, I pray you, provide every need that Pastor Darrell will ever have together with his family and his children and his church. Lord, as they go in, it was a joke that he can assure you that he can bring you in, but he cannot guarantee he will come out. But Lord Jesus, you came. You didn't get out, you died on the cross so that we can have life. I pray, Father, for every brethren who have put up their hands. Oh God, help us to take our focus off ourselves. Help us to take our focus, Lord, off the things that we think is important and put it on what you think is important. I pray for every brethren, every brother, every sister who have heard the message of God. That, Father, our lives will change. Our priorities will change. And that, Father, they will focus more on what is important, Lord, for eternity. Because you may come tomorrow, you may come even in an hour's time. So, Lord, thank you for your challenge in our hearts. I know that you have brought Pastor Darrell for a purpose, Lord, to strengthen us, to encourage us in our Christian life in our church. We are thankful that we are supporting missionaries, but yet, Lord, we need to do more. And we pray that you give us wisdom and grace and Father, the faith and courage to do more for you. I pray for every believer who is struggling with themselves, that, Father, they'll give up the fight and just surrender to you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray that our lives will change forever, Lord, from this time forth as we look at the mission field, as we look at other things, Lord, that are more important compared to what we think is important. So, Lord, we pray for every Christian. We pray for everyone who has unbelievers in their own families, oh Lord. Help them, Lord, to have a renewed resolve to share and not to waste our time, because time is short. Father, I pray also for us as a church that we'll see, Father, the things that we need to do for you as important. Father, our jobs, our careers, yes, it's part and parcel of you providing for us so that we can do your will and your work. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.